Hello and welcome to episode 818 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Thursday, February 29th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with St. Alphonsus Liguori's Thursday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain heaven. O Queen of Paradise, who reignest above all the choirs of angels and who art the nearest of all creatures to God, I, a miserable sinner, salute thee from this valley of tears and beseech thee to turn thy compassionate eyes towards me. For whichever side they turn, they dispense graces. See, O Mary, in how many dangers I now am and shall be as long as I live in this world of losing my soul, of losing heaven and God. In thee, O Lady, I have placed all my hopes. I love thee, and sigh to go soon to see thee, and praise thee in heaven. Ah, Mary, when will be that happy day on which I shall see myself safe at thy feet, and contemplate my mother, who has done so much for my salvation? When shall I kiss that hand which has delivered me so many times from hell, and has dispensed me so many graces, when, on account of my sins, I deserve to be hated and abandoned by all? My Lady, in life I have been very ungrateful to thee, but if I get to heaven, I shall no longer be ungrateful. There I shall love thee as much as I can in every moment for all eternity, and shall make amends for my ingratitude by blessing and thanking thee forever. I thank God with my whole heart, who gives me firm confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thee, and the conviction that thou wilt save me, that thou wilt deliver me from my sins, that thou wilt give me light and strength to execute the divine will, and in fine, that thou wilt lead me to the gate of paradise. Thy servants have hoped for all this, and not one of them was deceived. No, neither shall I be deceived. O Mary, my full confidence is that thou hast to save me. Beseech thy Son Jesus, as I also beseech him, by the merits of his passion, to preserve and always increase this confidence in me, and I shall be saved. Today, friends, we return once more to Meditations for Lent, by the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. I'm getting this from fisheaters.com, the excellent traditional Catholic website. And it was initially published by Sheed and Ward in 1937. I highly recommend Fish Eaters. It's a great website. The woman who runs it has chosen to remain anonymous at this point, as far as I understand, but she does great work, so please head on over there and check it out. Second Thursday, the title is That the Passion of Christ Brought About Its Effect Because It Was a Sacrifice. Number one. A sacrifice, properly so called, is something done to render God the honor specially due to him in order to appease him. St. Augustine teaches this, saying, every work done in order that we may, in a holy union, cleave to God is a true sacrifice. Every work, that is to say, related to that final good whose possession alone can make us truly happy. Christ in the Passion offered himself for us. And it was just this circumstance that he offered himself willingly, which was to God the most precious thing of all, since the willingness came from the greatest possible love. Whence it is evident that the Passion of Christ was a real sacrifice. And as he himself adds later, the former sacrifices of the saints were so many signs of different kinds of this one true sacrifice. This one thing was signified through many things, as one thing is said through many words, so that it may be repeated often without beginning to weary people. St. Augustine speaks of four things being found in every sacrifice, namely a person to whom the offering is made, one by whom it is made, the thing offered, and those on whose behalf it is offered. These are all found in the Passion of our Lord. It is the same person, the only true mediator himself, who through the sacrifice of peace reconciles us to God, yet remains one with him to whom he offers, who makes one with him those for whom he offers, and is himself one who both offers and is offered. And what I would like to add here is a problem with the Novus Ordo Missae, the new order of the Mass, is that the notion of sacrifice tends to get lost. The Mass is a sacrifice. It's the supreme sacrifice. Going back in time, as it were, to Calvary, the supreme sacrifice that our Lord made for us. I wanted to take a moment to read a few lines here from Credo, Compendium of the Catholic Faith by Bishop Athanasius Schneider. This is number 680. Have there been cases of popes promoting doctrinally ambiguous prayers, easy for me to say, in the liturgy of the Mass? The answer that Bishop Schneider proffers is yes. In 1969, Pope Paul VI approved a new order of Mass with novel offertory prayers, modeled after Jewish Sabbath meal blessings, or berakoth, because these prayers emphasize the aspect of a meal while seriously obscuring the propitiatory nature of the sacrifice. These offertory prayers are very close to a Protestant understanding of Holy Mass as a mere banquet. That is a problem, my friends. Holy Mass is not a banquet. It is a sacrifice, and it's not Jesus getting sacrificed over and over and over again. No, his sacrifice was sufficient and superabundant, as we talked about yesterday. So that's made very obvious if you're attending the traditional Latin Mass or Divine Liturgy. But in the Novus Ordo, in the new order of the Mass, which is what most people have attended since 1970, that gets obscured. It's another reason to avoid the Novus Ordo, and I want to put in a little advertisement for Guardians of Tradition, which is coming out on March 19th on YouTube. It's the third installment of the Mass of the Ages trilogy about the importance of the traditional Latin Mass, so be sure to tune into that on March 19th if you're watching this prior to March 19, 2024, Guardians of Tradition on YouTube. It's going to be excellent, I'm sure, because the first two episodes were fantastic. Getting back here to today's meditation, number two, St. Thomas says, "It is true that in those sacrifices of the old law, which were types of Christ, human flesh was never offered, but it does not follow from this that the Passion of Christ was not a sacrifice. For although the reality and the thing that typifies it must coincide in one point, it is not necessary that they coincide in every point, for the reality must go beyond the thing that typifies it. It was then very fitting that the sacrifice in which the flesh of Christ is offered for us was typified by a sacrifice not of the flesh of man, but of other animals, to foreshadow the flesh of Christ, which is the most perfect sacrifice of all." It is most perfect. Yeah, it is the most perfect sacrifice of all. It's a typographical error. It was written out twice. Subpoint one, because since it is the flesh of human nature that is offered, it is the thing fittingly offered for men and fittingly received by men in a sacrament. Two, because since the flesh of Christ was able to suffer and to die, it was suitable for immolation. Three, because since that flesh was itself without sin, it had a power to cleanse from sin. Four, because being the flesh of the very offerer, it was acceptable to God by reason of the unspeakable love of the one who is offering his own flesh. Whence St. Augustine says, What is there more suitably received by men of offerings made on their behalf than human flesh? And what is so suitable for immolation as mortal flesh? And what is so clean for cleansing mortal viciousness as that flesh born without stain of carnal desire in the womb and of the womb of a virgin? And what can be so graciously offered and received as the flesh of our sacrifice, the body so produced of our priest? So we have the supreme sacrifice, friends, of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that is re-presented at each and every Mass. And again, it's important to dispel this myth because, maybe not a myth, but a misunderstanding that many Protestants have that, hey, wasn't our Lord's sacrifice sufficient once and for all for sin? Of course it was. We're entering into that supreme sacrifice that happened 2,000 years ago on Calvary at each and every Mass. That's why it's important to receive our Lord in a state of grace, to not be conscious of any mortal sin. And if we are, we need to go to confession first before we receive him. Because as we've mentioned before on the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, we're either participating in the highest form of worship a human being can engage in at the Mass and receiving our Lord in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, or it's pagan idolatry. If it's false, if that isn't really Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity, if it is, which it is, I should say, but if it's not, then that's idolatry. We're worshiping bread and wine. But thank God for priests and our Lord working through the miracle of transubstantiation to deigning to come to us, to lower himself to us, to receive him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. That's why it's so important for those who are physically able to do so to kneel and to, of course, receive our Lord on the tongue, because that's God we're receiving. God himself, the second person of the Most Holy Trinity. So, of course, we want everyone to be Catholic. It's not good enough to be a Protestant. Protestantism is a heresy. It's not good enough to be Orthodox. The Orthodox churches are in schism. We want every single man, woman, and child on earth to be Catholic. And true, Orthodox churches have valid sacraments, but they are in schism. So we want the schism to be healed. We want the Orthodox to come fully home to Rome and the Catholic Church. It's unbelievable. It's beyond description how much our Lord loves us and how much he wants to unite with us. But he wants us to put aside our sins. And only he can do that. Only he can heal us with his grace, which comes in many ways, but sacramentally, of course, through confession, through confessing our sins to his duly appointed ministers, the priests, and being absolved of our sins by Christ, acting through the priest, and by receiving him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist. The Mass is truly a sacrifice. Let's be cognizant of that, and let's be cognizant of whom we are receiving when we're at Holy Mass. And thank God each and every time from the bottom of our heart that we are able to receive him. Let's conclude, friends, by mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who can compose poetry, music, very skilled in regards to mathematics. She even knows foreign languages. How many people like her are out there, non-speakers with all these gifts, all these talents? Who knows? We need to help them. Communication is a human right. RPM is taking non-speakers out of the prison of silence that they're in and putting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. This has been as massive a breakthrough as sign language for the deaf or Braille for the blind, but you can't use a tool unless you know about it. That's where you come in. So please spread this information far and wide. May God richly bless you for doing so. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly. Thanks for listening to the Our Lady of Fatima podcast, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.